हरिः Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so then here, looking at these appendices, like that. So we have copies of some. Somehow I know there's some pages here and there I'm missing. Okay. Shika. So this is now the analysis of Bhagavad Gita, classified according to Sri Baladeva Vidibhushan's Prameyas. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mercifully accepted initiation in the disciplic succession of Sri Madhavacharya for the purpose of delivering the world. He preached the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy based on 9 philosophical foundations, Prameyas, which were presented by Sri Madhavacharya. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu, in his famous book, Prameya Ratnavali, an explanatory treatise on the Prameyas, declares that without a clear understanding of these basic points, one cannot properly assimilate the philosophy of our disciplic succession. Here, Srila Prabhupada's points of analysis of Bhagavad Gita are classified with reference to the Prameyas. So I have these 9 Prameyas. So the first one is, Godhead is the highest truth. Right, so it's running similar to the Dasamu. Somehow or another, the page on comparing the two is missing. So, Dasamu, so here. So, but this is only 9, because this is not dealing with rasa. That's the main difference between the two. So Godhead is the highest truth, when starting with that principle. The second, he is known through revelation. Because we mentioned that only through the Lord revealing himself can he be known. Otherwise, he's transcendental, we're not, so it's not possible to actually understand. Right? Then, 3, the world is real. Right? Because otherwise the Mayavadis will say the world is not real. They'll say it's an illusion. That what's happened is that reality's been covered by an illusion. That's why you think it's here. While we will say, no, it's transformation. Right, from the transcendental, it's transformed into the material. Right, so it's just a matter of transforming it back. Well, their idea is you just remove the illusion and then one's on the Brahman platform. So the point is that, no, it's real, but we have an illusion about what it is. The spiritual is transformed the material, but we still think it's spiritual. Right, because of the illusions of thinking everything's eternal and everything's full of happiness. But it's not, right? This is temporary. It doesn't have the happiness. So we have to understand that and then transfer it back to the original. Right? So the material stays the way it is. We change our consciousness, therefore we're working on the transcendental platform. So yes, that illusion is covering, but what the illusion is covering, it's covering material energy. Or the external energy. Right? And then we can't see that this external energy is connected to the Lord, right? And we can't see the Lord's potencies that are running it. Does that make sense? So it seems very similar, their philosophy. But it's actually, you know, it's based on illusion. That's why we say Mayavadi, right? Because they say it's all Maya. so therefore that's the position. The differences are real, right? The different things that are there, that there's difference between material and spiritual, difference between the various elements within material, difference between the elements within spiritual. There's the difference between the soul and God. These are all real. Because otherwise they'll say, no, it's an illusion. Everything's all one and there's no difference at all. The souls are individual. Right. So they are individual, they've always been and they always will be. Right? So that's Krishna, the Gita says that, you know, that one of those verses about always, you know, all these kings, yourself, you, me, and all these kings, we've always been here. There are grades of souls. So there's the liberated, there, and there's the bound, and there's the fortunate. Right? Does that make sense? So bound means they're in illusion. Fortunate means they've come in contact with Krishna consciousness, but they haven't become liberated yet. Then there's liberated, right? Yes.
Liberated, does that mean Nitya Siddha?
Well, it means once you come to that platform, then you are on that platform, yeah.
Yeah, so then beyond time.
Yeah. So liberation is attaining the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's the point. And when we say liberation, you're only liberated if you attain the lotus feet of the Lord. If you don't attain the lotus feet of the Lord, then you're not actually liberated. Mm-hmm. It means you may be temporarily liberated, but you know, when you're talking about eternal time, it's not a big deal. Compared to material time, it seems very long. But you know, if that's the comparison, then why would the spiritual need the material to establish its use, you know, its importance? But if you compare it to eternity, it's only a few moments, therefore it's insignificant. Right? The process is devotional service. Right? So the process is, through devotional service is the only way you'll bring yourself to liberation. And that liberation means attaining the lotus feet of the Lord. So that means only by the devotional process, attaining love for Krishna, that's what's going to get you the liberation. And 9, the proofs are 3, perception, inference, and authority. So out of the 10 different kinds of ways that one could perceive of knowledge, then we accept 3, right? Perception, inference, and authority. So that means all the other 7 are included within this. They're just nuances of this. Perception means with the senses. It means knowledge gained by the senses. Inference, it's by seeing one thing you infer that something else is there, right? And then authority means you're hearing from scripture, you know, from Guru Sadhu and Shastra, like that. Because that's a very big thing. So in the Dasya mode, then this one will be first, the Shabda, you know, the scriptures, right? Like that. And then Godhead is the highest truth. He's the goal that you're trying to get to. So here it's just establishing here that, you know, Godhead is the highest truth and then everything connected with that. Okay. Then. Solve the problems of the world.
Excellent progress.
Hmm?
Excellent progress.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. Okay, so here is, Krishna consciousness is the practical solution to the world's problems. It's a scarcity of foodstuff. Throughout the whole world, so much land is lying vacant. If it is properly cultivated, 10 times what is now produced can be produced. That means that instead of scarcity, there can be more than ample produced and distributed. The land is being misused, keeping it fallow. The world's population is suffering. Okay, this is reference to Bhagavad Gita 3:14, verse and purport. To this he added, by eating sufficiently, when the man and animals are satisfied due to Krishna consciousness, then there can be perfect peace. Right? If everyone has enough food stuff, everyone's very peaceful. Mm-hmm. Problem is that if they're very peaceful, because all that is so easily available, then it doesn't work necessarily for an artificial economy. Right, so that's the difficulty. So then you have to keep it where everybody has to work. Because if they're working, then they can work for other things. Right, and if it's difficult working, then you want some relief from that work, so then you have all your other, you know, things that'll make it interesting. Then reference 1844. Land is being misused for growing coffee and tea and keeping cows for slaughter. The three items in this verse in Bhagavad Gita can keep everyone supplied with all the necessities of life. Now we have experience how by keeping the cows nicely, milk can be had in huge quantity, and thousands of nice preparations can be supplied. Overpopulation. Bhagavad Gita 14.4. If Krishna is the father, he knows how to take care of his children. He is completely opulent, and nature is under his control. 9.10. The problem is that the rascals are creating their own problems. Right? It means it's always very interesting. I was talking overpopulation and so many people and this and that. I was actually shocked when we were in Manhattan and we were going upstate to do some program. And after driving out of Manhattan for half an hour, we were just in forest. There's just forest with roads going through forest. That's all it was. And then after a long time, then we got to some small towns. So it was a huge amount of land and space. So it's only right in New York City, it's there. So I remember in L.A., you could drive, I remember once driving for 3 hours on the highway. And all you saw was cement. There was nothing other than that. But then I realized later, that's because you're driving north to south, so it's very narrow. So if you went west, you'd go into the ocean, so then there's plenty of space there. But if you went east, very quickly you'd hit the mountains. You know? So all this idea of, you know, and then Arizona is just desert, you know, Nevada is desert, you know, and a few canyons, you know. So most of the place is just open. You know? So the overpopulation is nuts because it's a scarcity only because for the particular economy they're managing, then there's a problem. But otherwise, as Prabhupada said, is that if you farmed everything was farmable, you'd have so much stuff it would be very cheap, you know, like that. Food wouldn't cost hardly anything, you know, at least basic. You know, your basic food. Your specialty, it's not that you'll get more, you know, saffron or something because it grows in only unique climates. But as far as grains and vegetables and that they'd be unlimited. Yes.
In Europe, they pay the farmers to not farm the land.
Yeah, because they don't want the price to drop. But exactly. The point for us is that things like food should be commonly available. Everybody is eating sufficiently. Then you're going to have your specialty items, fancy clothes, you know, special perfumes, ornaments. All these other things, that can be where the extra price is. But the problem is if everybody's eating very well, they may not be so worried about all these other things. Because if they're eating well, they don't have to work hard to maintain themselves. So they're not going to work that extra bit to get that extra money to be, you know, part of the, you know, how you say, middle class that has, what's the term they use? Something. They have money that's extra. So there's
a disposable income.
Disposable income. Right?
A nice term.
Yeah, no, it's a great term. You know, it's kind of like, you know, means income you can flush down the toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
Toilet.
I'm just going to go disposable.
Yeah. Okay. Then 15.7. If every living being is part and parcel of God and the Son of God, does that mean that God is imperfect and creates so many living beings without any provisions for their food? Then God becomes imperfect. And so he can take care. We're the ones that have a problem. 7.26. So, he knows the future, so he knows how to provide for the future population. There's no question of overpopulation. The lower animals are never concerned about overpopulation. The leaders have mismanaged, and they give some theory of overpopulation. Right? You know, it just makes it sound good. Yeah. Right? Because then you put it back on the people. You know, it's their problem. They're having kids. No, it's just they can't manage it. People are punished due to sinful activity. Therefore, there must be scarcity. When people are put into jail, it is not due to overpopulation. It is due to over-criminality. Similarly, whenever there is scarcity of food, is not due to overpopulation. It is due to their over-criminality or over-sinful activity. Overpopulation is a bogus theory. Yeah. It sounds good, but it's not. 16.19. Verse. The demons and the godless people must be suffering. They cannot make a solution. They cannot surpass the law of nature. So it's like on the last one, they're going against the laws of nature, therefore they're being punished for the criminal. So there is, even though there's sufficient grace, there are those who are suffering. Right? So there is sufficient, but people are still suffering. Why? Because of sin. 7:14. There's enough water in the ocean, but still we have suffering due to the scarcity of water. Why? Unless there's intervention by nature's law, you cannot use it. Right? Because the water's there, the sun is taking it up, so it's evaporating. So there's plenty there, but the moon then turns it into clouds. But the point is if it doesn't rain, you don't get any. Right? Because otherwise there's plenty of clouds. You know, so there's plenty of water. It's like in Seattle, it only rains.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't not rain, you know. Yeah, something weird today. What's wrong? Yeah, it's not raining. So unless there's an intervention by law's nature, you cannot use it. Right? So in other words, that's how you get. Otherwise, you can get something out. Los Angeles has this thing, they take the seawater and do it. But then, you know, only so much you can do like that. Nature, therefore, you are completely under the laws of nature. Nature will punish you. Nature will reward you according to your karma. Verse 3:27. You are falsely thinking that you are independent. A slight deviation from the laws of nature will put you into difficulty. If we are dependent on nature's supply, then overpopulation or no overpopulation, we can be punished if nature's supply is restricted. Right? So, nature supplies everything. You know, just like the parent supplies everything to the child, but if they're not behaving, there's some restriction. Like that. So that's the point. So God can take care of everybody. That's not the problem. But the problem is mankind doesn't follow properly what they should, therefore there's a problem. National defense. This is a funny one. There's no question of national. Everything belongs to Krishna. So the point is that it all belongs to God, then you manage it according to God's, you know, how you say, direction. So you're managing the kingdom, it belongs to God. It's not that there's this kingdom and that kingdom and then there's a problem. No, they all belong to God, just that God's kingdom is the whole world, so somebody takes charge of this part of it, somebody that part of it. You know, just like you know, everybody's God's children, right? But somebody takes care of this group and somebody takes care of that group. Right? Does that make sense? Taxation. That is our created problem. When we transgress the laws of nature, there's shortage of supply. The government is on this plea, will tax to mitigate our miseries. Actually, they will not be able to mitigate our miseries, but on the plea of miseries, they will levy taxes and divide amongst themselves. This is another way of punishment because we are rascals. So we elect other rascals, and they invent ways of rascaldom to mitigate our miseries. To avoid taxation means we have to become good men and select as our rulers good men. Then there will be no taxation. Right? So, in other words, the taxation is there, but it's minimal. It's something that doesn't bother you. Right? So taxation has to be more because there's more problems of shortage. Why is there shortage? Because people aren't acting properly. So people act according to God's laws. Then there will be sufficient facilities. Then taxation is very minimal, or sometimes it doesn't even need to be done at all. Right. Does that make sense? So it's like that. Yeah. So again, you see, it always comes back to the element of Krishna consciousness. Race relations. That is also due to lack of Krishna consciousness. If Krishna is the original father, where is the question of race? We are all brothers. Right? Like that. Because like the Cowherd Boys, they don't care. Someone's white, someone's black, someone's green, someone's... It doesn't matter. It's all, you know... Does that make sense? You know, in other words, you have kids. They don't discriminate between all the colors of the jelly beans, right? But adults do. They only pick out this color, that color, like that. Inflation. This means because in the government they are all rogues and thieves. Instead of giving real money, they print paper and cheat the public. The public are all fools. They accept paper as money. The whole world is in the association of the cheaters and the cheated. Somebody's a cheater, and someone agrees to be cheated. Those who are cheated elect cheaters, so naturally they suffer from artificial inflation, which has no value, artificially decreasing the purchase value. As soon as there is inflation, the purchase value is decreased. Grisham's theory is that bad money drives away good money. So in other words, it's the same thing. If you're dealing with real, if there's sufficient, right? Because if you want behaving properly, the Lord provides everything. So all the things that they base their value on, you know, of your grains, your commodities, your gold, your precious metals, your jewels, all these, there'll be more of them. Like before, the ocean produces, there's, like we mentioned, is that there's these states in South Africa, along the southern borders there. The ocean there, the whole beach, everything is blocked off by barbed wire. So you can't come in from boat and you can't go there on land. Why not? Because there's just diamonds sitting in the sand. There's just so much raw diamonds just sitting in the sand. Raw jewels are just there because the ocean has produced them. They just get thrown up onto the beach. That's a normal thing. So that was just, nobody's there is sinful. So therefore, it was just happening in the normal way. While other beaches, you know, Santa Monica Beach, it's not washing up like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Water and population. Water and air pollution. That is also our creation. Water coming from the sky is pure. But as soon as it touches the ground where you are living, it becomes pollution. It is due to your always being engaged in sinful activities, duskritina, without Krishna consciousness. Because you see, anything that pollutes is because we don't behave properly. If we're dealing in a way that, you know, cleanliness is important, then everything has to be judged according to that. So business and these things has to be according to cleanliness, so you don't pollute. So even if somebody figures out a way of doing something, but if it creates pollution, why would you use it? You work and you find another way, right? That was the first thing they thought up. They use it. Then after 100 years, they figure out that's not so good. Then they find something else that doesn't pollute. So they could have done that in the first place. Right? Especially when you're dealing with natural things. In the first place, it's so much easier to figure out a natural solution. Fuel shortage. This is nature again, restricting supply. So if there's less, why is there less? Right? You know, it's just like, what do you call it? The Vikings aren't known for their super pious lifestyle. Right? So they cut down the trees in Greenland and they never grew back. Why didn't they grow back? Why wouldn't they grow back? Trees were growing there before, why wouldn't they grow back? Everywhere else you cut the trees, they grow back. Why don't they grow back? Yeah, just lack of piety. Right? Well, there was no one there who was very pious. You know, like that. So then, like that. Student unrest. They are the sons of demons and are not properly educated. Right? It means the parents don't know how to behave, so they don't know how to behave. That's all right. So therefore, then they create unrest. You know, otherwise, school's boring. You know, what else do you do? Crime. When people are in distress, there will be crime. Duskritinas, the atheistic class, must be criminals because they do not believe in higher authority. Because if God's the authority, then why would you do things that are wrong? And as we said before, because then your leadership is not doing properly, there's shortage. Otherwise, if there was plenty of food, then there wouldn't be, why does there need to be, you know, so much crime? To solve these problems, there must be a section of men who are brahmanas, and all others should consult them and live as kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, and so on. Okay. So that was the world problem.
Nice.
He deals with so many other things.
Can we get a copy of that?
At some point, yes. So then here, bhakti, the only message of Gita, right? Because there's so many other things described. So just bringing out that this is the essential point. So this is Appendix E. In practically Practically every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the conclusion is that one should be attached to the personal form of Krishna, for that is the highest spiritual realization. So that's on page 612, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Srila Prabhupada established that Bhakti Yoga is the only message in the Bhagavad Gita, in every chapter. There are certain verses in every chapter that build up this conclusion. We have listed them here, chapter-wise, with excerpts from purports. Chapter 1, Arjuna Vishada Yoga, observing the armies in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So verses 37 and 38. Arjuna's confusion, he establishes moral principles over social obligations. Right, because it's dharma that you're engaging in Krishna's service. Right, to assist dharma, then artha and kama are used. Right, so he's putting artha and kama as higher than dharma. So that's why there's a problem. So then how will you use it for the Lord? Chapter 2, Shankha Yoga. So verses 45, 48 through 50. These are higher principles than those which award destinations of sense enjoyment. Lord Krishna made an analytical description of the body and soul just to bring Arjuna to the point of Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the good will of Krishna. Following Krishna's dictations is real yoga, and this is practiced in Krishna consciousness only. By Krishna consciousness, one can give up proprietorship, except work in Krishna consciousness. Everything else, all activities, are abominable because they bind one continually in the cycle of birth and death. One should never, therefore, desire to be the cause of work. Everything must be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. Because if you're the cause of work, why would you be the cause of work?
Because I want something.
Yeah, you want something, right? Yeah, you want something out of it. So if you're not the cause of work, that means then work is being done for the Lord, and the potency to do that work is from the Lord. So that means I'm not the controller, so therefore I'm not the enjoyer. Then there's not a problem. So there's always this problem that we think that there is work that is valuable outside of Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Or we'll say, oh, it's used in Krishna consciousness, but we'll say it's valuable work. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Krishna consciousness, therefore we use valuable work in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. But work, it only becomes valuable when it's connected to Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. Outside Krishna consciousness, there is nothing of any value. Probably uses the word abominable. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. So if we have faith that there's any activity, any results, that they themselves have a value, that's our mistake. Mm. Yes.
So Maharaj, in the second chapter, actually, can we say there is a principle of authority? But Arjuna is starting to accept Krishna. But you mentioned in the first chapter that Arjuna was putting not dharma, the first one.
Mm. So yeah, he's dealing with artha.
Yes, artha. So now he's starting to accept the principle of authority.
Yes, means he's accepted, means in the first chapter he's just talking on his own, means his problem. But then he, as a pious person does, he turns to Krishna. Right? He turns to authority. While Duryodhana is also an anxiety, but he does not turn to authority. He just uses niti. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difference. You know, the pious person turns to authority, the impious person doesn't. Or not say impious, but you can say the demoniac mentality doesn't, right?
So divine and demoniac mentality?
Yes, so you always have divine and demoniac mentality. Means divine means there is higher authority. Mm. Demoniac means you work it out yourself. You are the authority. You don't trust anybody. You know, so there may be reasons for this, but it's a matter of one has to get rid of that mentality. Mm. Right? Because otherwise, then if one has that mentality, then it's all about yourself. Everybody else is simply, pawns in your endeavor to make yourself happy. Right? Yes. Because unless there's trust, how are there relationships? Right? If there's no relationships, that means all you're interacting with others isn't based on relationship. Mm-hmm. It's based on what you can get from it. You know, so that's why this is a start. The demoniac mentality isn't very useful because then it's all about you. So then, you know, it'll give rise to your karma and your gyan. Because dealing with the person, Godhead, means you have to deal on the basis of relationship.
It's almost impossible to talk to these people.
It's almost impossible, but the point is you have to catch what is their value and discuss the value. Because value is always more subtle. So already they're accepting a subtle principle over a gross. You know what I'm saying? Like the guy says, yeah, you know, it's in my car, I got my car, you know, it's like that, and you know, whatever it is, and that it's all about his car. But the point is, well, what about the car? Everybody's got a car, so why is it, you know, what is it that he's getting from the car? This little old lady, it just gets her down to the grocery store. You know what I'm saying? So what is it that you're into in the car? So then that's the whole point, is that what she's into in the car is something more subtle than the car itself. So already this principle of, you know, so then it's just a matter of more subtle than that. So then where did that potency come from? It's got power, but where did that come from? You know what I'm saying? You know, it says, you know, because I, you know, I did this and that to the, you know, the engine and so many things. But you had to follow rules. You couldn't just put anything there. It's not that you stick a few more squirrels in there and then it's like, you know.
Oh, you tried that, but it didn't work.
Yeah, you know, get bigger squirrels. Everyone else uses those little chipmunks. We use those big red squirrels. Yeah, yeah.
Badgers.
Yeah, now that would be good. Badgers, yeah. Yeah, you just hang a boot in front of them, right? You
know? Exactly.
You have the boot there, and then you got them tied up to the thing. And then you whack them with the boot. Yes, when you stop the car, you'd have to put on the brake because they'll still be going. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yesterday in the class, I was going to ask you, we're talking about this point of control and joy. So someone who's practicing still has that sense of control, is because it's still the...
Yeah, I mean, that's what mixed devotional service means, is we still have that Purusha Bhava, that mood of I'm the controller and enjoyer. And pure devotional service means we're acting not on that platform. So when we say mixed, it means there's elements that are pure and elements that are mixed. But which one is prominent, we call it either mixed devotional service or pure devotional service. Right, so... The basic grade of pure devotional service generally starts at Madhyam. Though you can start it as neophyte, but that means then you're defining neophyte as one who does not know the scriptures so well. But their faith, everything, has come up to that point of steadiness. Right? So it's not that their devotional service is not steady, it's just they don't know so much scripture like that. So that's the point, is as though they're steady. But do that, you still classify him as third class. This is just like the, by that classification, Kashi Mishra, he's one of the Lord's eternal associates, he's classified as a neophyte devotee because he doesn't know any Shastra. You know? Not enough to defeat the Mayavadis. Right? Does that make sense? You know, he just likes Lord Chaitanya and does his service, that's all. So, does that make sense? So that's the point. Right? So if that steadiness and faith in devotional service is prominent, then it's called pure devotional service, right? And then at bhava, it's more pure, right? Does that make sense? And then at prema, then that's the most pure.
So the more we get to the platform that it's for Krishna, it's about Krishna, the less, the more distant we get to this idea of controlling
it. Yes, yes. Because if it's for Krishna, then that means you have to do something for Krishna. So you can be in control of getting it for Krishna. But ultimately, if one's conscious of Krishna, it's that his potency that makes it work anyway. So it's not, so we can only assist. So automatically then one is humble. Is there?
And if another Vaishnava is doing it anyway, we'll be happy because Krishna will be getting it anyway.
Well, what's that in connection with?
In the sense that if someone is doing some work,
right,
and he feels that it's him, he is the one who must do it, because very connected to his desires to
right.
do it. But if in the end that accomplishment which he is envisioning for Krishna gets done, even if it's not by himself, but it gets done,
yeah.
there's a value in that form, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It means anything in connection to Krishna is of value. It's just how much. It means, in other words, how much of its natural value is manifest. Right? In other words, the person's doing kirtan. Kirtan's always the most valuable thing. But because they're doing it for their own, or there's an element, let's say, of their own prestige or stuff like that. So its value, its potency is less. But if they remove that, then it will be great. You know what I'm saying? So devotional service isn't dependent upon it. It's just a matter of how much benefit we get from it. You know what I'm saying? And the store doesn't have any shortage. The point is how much we're willing to pay is how much we're going to get from that store. So the kirtan always has that unlimited aspect. And how much we're going to get depends upon how much we're willing to pay. In other words, how much we're willing to surrender. Because that's the price. Nityananda Prabhu is out distributing the holy name. Right? And so the only price he's asking is surrender. You surrender, then you get the pure name. You don't surrender, you get something less. You know what I'm saying? It's not that we create the value. Because we'll have to say, no, but he's a rascal, so therefore it can't be devotional service. The point is no. It's Krishna, anything connected to Krishna, that's what's of value. But the person is not getting the full value. That's the problem. It's not that, no, he creates, because that means we think I'm the doer. No, it's just that the person's under the modes of nature, and therefore, because of that, they're not getting the proper benefit. Right? And so if that creates problems for others, then it's more of a question of discussion. But if it doesn't, then, you know, what's your problem? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay.
One should never, therefore, desire to be the cause of work. Everything must be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. Accumulating various reactions for his good and bad work, since time immemorial, the living entity is ignorant of his real constitutional position. This ignorance can be removed only by acting in full surrender to Krishna in all respects, and become liberated from the chained victimization of action and reaction, birth after birth. Right? So the soul is victimized by that because we think it's something of value. But it's not. Its only use is its connection to the Lord. If there's no connection to the Lord, it doesn't have any value. So chapter 3, Karma Yoga, verse 9. Since one has to work even for simple maintenance of the body, the prescribed duties for a particular social position and quality, varnashram, are so made that purpose can be fulfilled. Oh, that purpose can be fulfilled. All sacrificial performance. So in other words, by performing the duties in Varnashram, the body will automatically be taken care of. Because if you do your duties, it will fulfill your needs. All sacrificial performances are for satisfying Vishnu. In other words, the same purpose is served whether one performs prescribed yajnas or works in Krishna consciousness for serving Krishna. Any other work done in this world will be a cause of bondage. Because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord, one should discharge duties for satisfying Krishna without claiming proprietorship over anything, become free from the fever of material consciousness that produces actions and reactions perpetually. So you're going to do an activity anyway to get a result, to maintain yourself. But if that activity is done to please Krishna, right, automatically what you want for taking care of yourself comes. See, it's not separate. That's why we say devotional service is automatic. Because devotional service is done according to authority. So we act according to our nature. So everything required is automatically taken care of. So therefore, karma yoga. Right? So you're performing the activity to get the result. But if you perform the activity so the result's for Krishna, the result you require comes anyway. It's just a matter of, you know, if that element of surrender is there, then it's already for Krishna. You'll also get. Or the lower stage, you do it, the result then you've gotten for yourself is then given to Krishna, or shared with Krishna. Right? So in any case, the devotional service will fulfill your needs. Mm-hmm. But since that devotional service is fulfilling, why do it in a mixed mentality? Do it in a pure mentality. Because mm-hmm. the results aren't going to change. It's not that if you're more pure, the material side will come. No, because the point is you're engaging the material elements in Krishna's service. So any activity produces a result, so why the material result won't be there? Mm-hmm. Chapter 4, Jnana Karma Sannyas Yoga, Transcendental Knowledge. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigods, sacrifice to Brahman, sacrifice in celibacy, in household life, in controlling the senses, in practicing mystic yoga, in penance, in forgoing material possessions, in studying the Vedas, and in partaking of the social institution of Varnashram Dharma. All of these are known as sacrifice, and all of them are based on regulated action. In other words, you're voluntarily giving up something for someone else's benefit, right? So these are all the ways that sacrifice is done. Right. But within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita. But one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a bona fide spiritual master with service and surrender. Right. So all these sacrifices are done, but then you have to have knowledge to perform the sacrifice. So therefore, then Krishna is that supreme knowledge, right? So the Bhagavad Gita will make it, you want knowledge, so the Gita will show you how to do all your activities in connection with the Lord. Right? So therefore, it's perfect. Otherwise, one will fall down from the position, you know, today or tomorrow, like that. And when Mahavishnu's breath is only 3/4 of a second, you know, it seems long from this side, tomorrow, but it's only one day. Chapter 5, Karma Sannyas Yoga. Right, the other one was Jnana Karma Sannyas Yoga. So this is Karma Sannyas Yoga. Action in Krishna consciousness. Action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails a risk of falling, right? Because falling is, you're not engaging the senses, so what will they do, right? And also, it's just applying knowledge doesn't necessarily purify. You can maintain purity, but it's not that it generates. It's action generates purity, right? So that's why the real thing is, with knowledge, perform action. That's your safest position. Because if you perform action, then the problem is you get bound by the reaction. And if you have knowledge, then you may not be getting action or reaction, but how do you maintain yourself on that platform? So you can fall. So when the two are combined, that you're performing activities with knowledge, that's the safest position. But as we said, the activity is for Krishna, the knowledge is about Krishna. So then that is Karma Sannyas Yoga.
The same as Buddha Yoga?
Yeah, it is the same. All this is Buddha Yoga. It's just bringing out which aspect of Buddha Yoga you're focusing on, one, for understanding, or because your devotional service is mixed, so therefore, in performing Buddha Yoga, karma is the stronger point. That's where the mix is, so it's called Karma Yoga. Right? If the mix is with Jnana, it's called Jnana Yoga. Does that make sense? But all there is Buddha Yoga. It's just there's devotional service. Devotional service is the actual category. Buddha Yoga is just devotional service is a combination of the body, mind, and words engaged in the Lord's service. So body is Karma Yoga, mind is Jnana Yoga, and intelligence is the Jnana Yoga. So these three together, body, mind, and words, is how you technically are engaging yourself in the Lord's service. Right? Does that make sense? But, because the prominence is that you're following a process, That's why it's called Buddha Yoga. When you're not following a process, you're just doing it out of natural attraction for the Lord. It's just called devotional service. Does that make sense? Right? And then within the buddhi, which one you're emphasizing, it's called by that. So he's saying here the most efficient is you're using all three. So karma and jnana are mixed, and you're doing it thinking of Krishna. Right? So that's the actual thing. So Krishna is always saying, perform your duties, karma yoga, with knowledge, jnana yoga, thinking of me, you know, and, you know, jnana yoga, and for me. This is for the bhakti. Right? So you see that regularly comes up throughout the whole Gita. Okay. One who knows that everything is Krishna's property is always situated in renunciation, because if you think it's yours, then you know, in other words, you intelligently think it's yours rather than just in a sentimental way, right? So then one can fall, right? But if you know it's always Krishna's, then there's no falling. The person who is attached to Krishna and works for him only is certainly a liberated person. But he has no anxiety over the results of his work. Right? Because if the results are coming, then it's moving in the good direction. If it's not coming, he'll try something else to get it to work. Because it's for Krishna. So it's not that his attachment is getting in the way, so he loses patience or, you know, does something that he shouldn't do. It's for Krishna. Therefore, one always uses one's intelligence to make it work nicely. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. In Krishna consciousness, there is no duality. All that exists is a product of Krishna's energy, and Krishna is all good. Therefore, activities in Krishna consciousness are on the absolute plane. They are transcendental and have no material effect. One is therefore filled with peace in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So the emphasis on the point is Krishna is everything, Krishna is all good, so therefore devotional service to him is always going to produce good. Right, and one can always find situations to serve him. Like someone says, okay, God is all good, but then why are there bad things? But that was answered before. Bad things happen because people don't follow God's laws. So what are you supposed to do? Right? You know. So therefore, how would God be good if you do something wrong and he doesn't do anything about it? Right? You know, there has to be correction. Like the child does something wrong, the parent says nothing. No one will say he's a good parent. The child does something wrong, the parent corrects him in such a way that the child gets corrected. Mm. Then you'll say that's better. That's a good parent. So God is correcting. Right? We're just not such great children.
So somewhere the idea of the lightning bolt which hits your head is a very extreme application of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just more obvious, you know.
You didn't get it for a long time.
Yeah, or the as you're walking, the earth opens up and you fall inside. You know, that was also a good one.
I heard this one person, he's been hit by lightning 7 times.
7 times? Mm-hmm. Okay. But he's still alive.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a devotee.
You should figure it out soon.
What to do?
Therefore, activities Krishna is all good. Therefore, activities in Krishna consciousness are on the absolute plane. They are transcendental, have no material effect. Right? No material effect means that they're not going to affect the soul materially. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a material product from it. Mm. Like that. But that's just material energy transforming into whatever, however material energy transforms. But that's not the effect. Mm. Right? The effect is what it does to you. Right? You know, you're in a happy mood. You know, so whatever situation you're in, you're still happy. You know, though if you weren't happy, that situation might make you more unhappy. But if you're happy, it's who cares? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You're really happy, you go down, you know, the train is jam packed. There's no way, you know, it's a little more, you know, a little more, how you say,
new friends.
Yeah, new friends. Or you, you know, you get out, you walk out of the thing, and it's raining. You know, hey, who cares? You know, it's like that. So that's the whole point. So direct Krishna consciousness is bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga is the path leading to bhakti yoga. Right, because bhakti jnana yoga means that you're using your intelligence and connecting it to Krishna. But bhakti yoga means you're doing it just to please Krishna. So you use body, mind, and words. So whatever needs to be used. Does that make sense? A pure soul is the eternal servant of God, is his fragmental part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya illusion due to his desire to lord it over Maya. And that is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he's in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life, even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter. For it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness remains factually in the transcendental stage of Brahma Nirvana. So he is transcendental.
Okay.
Yeah. So the sir wants to say something.
So we just have a little handout. This is a little paper with some email addresses and a website link. So we want to request everybody that from now on the essays, you can, if you handwrite your essays, you can hand them directly to Maharaj. During the class, so there's no necessity to run around and look for the person, you can just give it to Maharaj. If you type in the name, or if you're a correspondent student, then you can send it to the first email is seminary.essaysandlife.com. You can directly send it. Under people who will be checking all the marking all the essays. So any questions related to the essays, any questions related to the marking standards, etc., you can direct to that email. Any other questions you have regarding schedule, admission, courses, whatever it is, there is another email address there, and there's also a link to the website. You know, you can find out some information about the academy. Hopefully, during the summer, we'll try to work to update the website and some more information regarding the adult education will be provided in there. So, really just a simple announcement. All the essays to the first email, all the other questions, if you have, you can write to the other email. If you write, handwrite, you can give directly to Maharaj. If you want, you can print out and also give it to Maharaj. Otherwise, you can save on paper and just send a soft copy to the team. So maybe take a number, you can pass it around to everybody.
On the register?
Well, you can give it to everybody. Also, if anybody is not here, then you can share with him those email addresses and the information provided, so they would be aware.
The idea is that we're trying to make the, because as we've gone now, the first few years is we're dealing with less information, even though it's a lot of information. They say the volume of the information. So as we go, for the years, there's more and more books that are part of the, how you say, study. So what we're trying to do is see that those who are working on the developing curriculum are not, have to distract themselves from anything else other than that. Right? So what we're trying to do is get enlist more and more people in the process. So, you know, who's taking care of administrative elements, who's taking care of the essays and all that, so that everything becomes a little bit more efficient. Because up to now, it's the same person through everything, and then things don't move forward as quickly as they should. Right? Because we see as we go, things move quicker and quicker. You know, like that. So we're trying to create that facility. So now, then, like before, Shanti Prabhu was doing so many different things, so now he and his wife can just focus on the curriculum work. Pandava Bandhava was also this year supposed to be working with the essays and all that, but then, you know, because traveling, that doesn't work so good, and to do this curriculum work. So then we decided, no, just somebody who's sitting here, they'll take care of that. The curriculum workers, they can just work on that. Someone else is working on the administrative aspects and all that, and then so that's there. Because now we're getting this part together. This is the seminary. Seminary is one school within the adult education, right? So it's the one that's running now. But in the future, there'll be other aspects where all the, like the Sanskrit, astrology, and all those things will be offered. So it'll just get bigger and bigger. So we figured better start with these kind of more administrative things now before it turns into, you know, a big monster. It's more difficult to deal with, right? So these two addresses are there, one for the essays and one for any questions you have, like that. And so then also is that for this next term, everything could be handed into me, like that, and then it'll be checked, and then I'll hand it back. And when you finish one question, then we'll give the next one. Rather than just give them it all at once, we'll give them as you do them. Make sense? So that's basically, and we should, yeah. Should be looking. Yes. What is the time frame? All right, well, we're planning that next October we want to give out the degrees, you know, for the last 2 years. Because now everybody will be disappearing, and so, you know, it'll take us another few weeks to work it all out. Because we've gotten worked out now the formatting for the degrees, you know, the method of doing, going through the, like, judging the essays, all these things are all in place. So to get now everything approved, then it'll take some time, but by that time everyone's disappeared. So the plan is that this next October, then we'll be one of the giving out the degrees. So you'd want to have it in early enough that then it can be appreciated then for there. Otherwise, then it just means it'll come later. That's all. I would say is you should try to do it before classes start, because once classes start, then you'll have the third year's essays. So. Does that make sense? It's always easier to just be doing what you're studying in the essays because it's fresh. Because otherwise, other things, then you have to go back and listen and go through the whole thing. Because it's necessary. Is that means you have the book, you have the Gita, you have the study material, how so we get the focus on that, and then the elaborations and the discussions, right? So those three are required. Otherwise, it will be obvious in your writing the essay questions. Does that make sense? So how the essay questions are written, it gives an idea of what you know. That's the idea why you should be comfortable to write the essay, because then you can understand how much you know, right? And as we see in here is that you first hand it in. If everything's clear, fine. If not, then we'll give some pointers as to what's lacking, what's the shortage. Then you can rewrite it. Does that make sense? So that's not... it's not a standard process in your modern academy, you know, like that. So the point is we're trying to get it where you understand. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Does that make sense? So I would recommend is have them done before the end of next September. But the earlier, then, depending upon that, then we'll be able to work it in as the degrees. Yeah. Otherwise, then we'll have to pick another time at the end of the term, you know, in January. And it means at the end of January, we'd have to have another, you know, that would be the other time that we could give out the degrees. Yes?
There will be an oral assessment at the end of next year, or how is that?
That we have to see. Okay. It just depends upon the papers and all that. It's obvious in your essays, then. More of the oral assessment is for those who are doing things online that we don't see. We don't see the participation. That's more important for them, because others are participating, so we see what they gain. You know, you get an idea of the focused or glazed eyes, you know, in the class, right? But on the email, you can't exactly tell. So the original concept was, is those who do everything simply by that, there would need to be an oral exam. Just, you know, discussion to see that they actually understand it, you know, because, you know, just like we were saying before, is that, you know, in the chat room it seems like a very nice, you know, educated young lady, but find out it's actually a 40-year-old, you know, truck driver, you know, like that. So we got, you know, have to make sure that the essays and the person that you're talking to, it matches. Right? Does that make sense? It means study you can do together. Essays you have to write yourself. It's just the way it works. Because to get a degree, it has to be your work. right? To get an award, that can be done as a group. You understand? You know, it's like the Nobel Prize in science. Then maybe two scientists get the prize because they work together or they work, you know, on the same thing. But they already had their degrees. You understand? So the degree is that you can tell what you, your, you know, input and what you're actually understanding from it. So you have to write your own essay. But you can study together. But you have to write your own essay in your own words. Otherwise, you don't know, and we don't know if you know, you know, what you know. Right? And it's good to know that you know something, right? Because if you don't know,
the things you know, and you know, and you think you don't know, and you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, so all these different things. Yeah, it's better that one actually knows what he knows. Yes? No? Okay. So continue. Right, so from tomorrow it's only the 4 in the afternoon class. Today will be all 3, but tomorrow just the 4 to 5 class.
And next class we go on with this?
Yeah, we'll continue with this. We'll continue with this, and then the evening will be the regular
Manasamita.
Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jaya.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jaya.